It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there and you'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent podcasts and our most recent op-eds. Last week, we rolled out two great podcasts, and that one was with Dr. Jill Vecchio on How Did We Get Here? And the other was with Kevin Sorbo, who, you know him, he was Hercules. He now has his own independent film production company and is producing family-friendly films. He was canceled by Facebook. He had 500,000 followers, and they just decided to cancel him, Steve.
I don't know. I guess I'm losing it across the board. These kind of things just leave me absolutely cold. But yet such a powerful message is being sent to the culture. They'll just take it in and look at it. I mean, there's a story on, I heard about it yesterday, but it's on Fox this morning about the Dems are trying to influence cable companies to stop carrying Fox News, Newsmax, and any other conservative entity. So why? I mean, look, come on, let's be upfront, folks. Why do you want them censored? Why do you want to take them off cable?
Yeah. And the reason is because if, in fact, your ideas cannot stand the muster of any competition in the idea, then you have to get rid of the competition. It means it's a really, really bad idea. Censorship is one of the very first things. That's why in the First Amendment we have freedom of speech. And when you have...
Thank you.
No matter what side of the aisle you're on, if you have a side that is trying to shut down the voice of the other side, you better be very suspect. I'll tell you what, if it was the conservatives that were trying to shut down the voices of others, I would not be for that as well. And I just a clarification, conservative, they have really been going after that word, although they say it's good to conserve energy, it's good to conserve this, it's good to conserve that, except when it gets to conserving the American idea that all men are created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. All of a sudden, the radical activist regressives do not want to conserve that. And my friends, that idea is the reason we've got this big, broad middle class. That's the reason why everyday people can thrive and prosper. And that's why people from all over the world have wanted to come here, because they were seeking freedom, Steve.
Well, thank you for bringing up the First Amendment. I mean, that was the first thing I was thinking. Isn't this a direct violation thereof? So, yes, it's getting more and more clear every day.
Yes, it is. And the thing to be grateful on this was all percolating underneath the surface. The veil is now off. It's been unmasked, like Unmasked 2020, this great book that Kevin Lundberg and Charles Heatherly co-edited. But the mask is off, and we now know what we're up against. It seems somewhat daunting, but I tell you what, truth and clarity, which is what we search for every day on this show, will win out. I'd like to say thank you to each of you for listening. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have a purpose. Strive for excellence and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And that voice you heard was producer Steve. Thank you to this great team that I get to work with, and that is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. And this show, we are an independent voice. And the sponsors that I work with, I can certainly endorse each and every one of them, as well as thank you to all of you that are contributing to keep our independent voice independent and out there. And so you can go to my website to contribute, to continue making this happen. But a couple of other great sponsors that I have is Hooters Restaurants. The girls are coming over on Wednesday night, Steve. I know that once when we had Reverend C.L. Bryant as our guest, you got to come over. And it is quite the affair. But I always get Hooters wings for that. And they are delicious. I love the Texas barbecue smoked wings. They're half the calories.
Well, I'm glad you gave me that heads up because I need to notify the local law enforcement to provide crowd control and traffic control, everything. It's a big deal.
That's for sure. And then the other great sponsor of another great sponsor is Castlegate Knife and Tool, located in Sedalia, Colorado. They're a family-owned business. And I'll tell you what, Steve, having the right tools is really a good thing. I got a wonderful little utility knife to have around the house when you need to cut foam board or whatever it is. But years ago, I had some of the oldest skis that were ever made. And I just didn't want to invest in any new skis. And I struggled on the slope many times. In fact, I was getting on a ski lift one time and somebody said to me, those, when you get done with those should go directly to the Smithsonian. And when I got new skis, the right tool, I was really great on the slopes then.
Great minds do think alike, because I was going to go there with the Smithsonian thing.
You better watch it there. Let's go ahead and jump into the show. We've got a great show planned for you. We'll talk with Chris Cantwell, another great sponsor, right before the break. He's with Transworld Business Advisors. He's in the business of helping people buy and sell their businesses. And he's going to give us an update on what's happening in that arena. Daniel Turner, this is a late-breaking guest. He's the executive director of Power the Future. And it looks like today the Senate begins the confirmation hearing for Representative Deb Haaland to be Secretary of the Interior. And the problem is she hates fossil fuels. And we actually realize, after looking at Texas, after all of those wind turbines were frozen, that fossil fuels really do help us live our lives. There were a number of deaths because of that, Steve. And can you imagine the number of broken water pipes and just the disruption in these people's lives because of bad policies that have been put in place?
Well, it's, you know, we've been crowing about it for quite a while, and we will continue to crow about it, is that we are not anti the technology, but we want that technology to be mature and fully reliable, and it's not.
Well, and the other thing is it cannot live on government subsidies and also government policies that are trying to squelch the competition from fossil fuels and push people into a more unreliable, more expensive, less abundant form of energy. And we need to pay attention to this. It's nice right now. If you're not paying attention, you can go fill your car up with gas, although prices are up anywhere from 15% to 20% just for fuel prices. That hurts the people at the bottom of the economic ladder the most, Steve.
I was tracking the price of a barrel of oil, and I haven't looked at it in the last week or so, but it was up $6 since January 20th. And right here at this Parker Road gas station we go past every morning, a gallon of gas is up 30 cents since January 3rd, I think it is.
So it's about 15%. That hurts. That actually hurts everyday hardworking people. Let's continue on. We'll talk with Jason McBride at the bottom of the hour. He's a senior VP with Presidential Wealth Management. And then Roger Hayes, another great partner, is the owner of Premier Employer Services. And want to find out what businesses can be looking at with this legislative session here, and all very important conversations. Let's see, we look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do that. And I was looking for quotes about small businesses for today. So the first quote is from Glenn Mazzara. He's an American television producer and writer. He's most well known for his work on The Shield, The Walking Dead, and Damien. He was born in 1967. And he says, if you're going to run a small business, you need to know what everyone is doing, be the first one in and the last one out, and work weekends. And if you do that, then you should be able to thrive and prosper. And because you work that hard, it's not fair for government to take more of your hard-earned money as a percentage versus someone that is not working that hard. I bet Chris Cantwell will agree with me, Transworld Business Advisors. Chris Cantwell, what do you think of that quote?
Good morning, Kim. Yeah, I certainly know what that feels like. There are many times that I'm the first one in the office, the last to leave, and working on weekends.
Me too. But there's great opportunity in that. And what is so frustrating, Chris, is through this COVID-19 Wuhan, China virus reaction disruption. There seems to be this real assault government policy on small to mid-sized businesses. Now, of course, they've been talking about these COVID relief packages, which are incurring significant debt, which breaks my heart because that means that, every day, like our people on pensions and fixed incomes, their buying power is going to go down because of inflation. But yet we're also borrowing this money from our kids. But with that, we are where we are right now. And I know you're keeping people apprised of what's happening. So this COVID-19 relief package out there on the horizon, what do you think about that, Chris?
Yeah, so there's two elements right now that are benefiting these business owners. The second round of PPP is out there right now. Banks are seeing about half the volume as the first time. But that deadline's coming up. It's March 31st to apply for your second round of PPP loans. And really, those should be for those businesses like restaurants and retail that are directly impacted and aren't able to fully open and aren't able to even make a profit right now with the circumstances, with the mandates that the government's forced on them in terms of how they can operate their businesses. So that second round of PPP is still out there, but you got to apply before March 31st. Talk to your local banker about how to do that process if you're unfamiliar. And then on the SBA money, that the incentive money that they're offering on acquiring new businesses, they made a change last week. And they've changed it from, instead of 6 months of relief from your principal and interest payments, it's down to three. And the reason for that is they feel that there are some budgetary constraints, and they feel like they're going to, they allocated $3.5 billion for these payments, but it sounds like they must be burning through it pretty fast. So they've changed it up, and they can do this on a whim. They could probably take the whole thing away on a whim. And when the $3.5 billion runs out, if it runs out before September 30th, that will be all there is from that program unless they do more funding into it. So who knows? They could take it away or they could borrow more money from our kids and grandkids.
Oh, my gosh. Now, people that got in with the six-month time frame, that still stands for them, yes?
I believe so. I haven't heard that changed any differently.
Man, oh man. I tell you, it makes it really difficult for these businesses when they keep changing the rules and keep them closed down. It's just frustrating. We need to get opened up without restrictions, Chris Cantwell.
I agree 100%, Kim.
And I know you have a portfolio of businesses. That's your business, is helping people buy and sell their dreams. How can people reach you, Chris Cantwell?
Yeah, they can call me at 844-SELL-BIZ, B-I-Z, 844-SELL-BIZ, or find all of my contact info on the KimMunson.com website.
Chris Cantwell, you are such a valued partner. Thank you so much, and we will talk to you here in a couple of weeks.
Sounds good. Thanks, Kim.
You bet. Before we go to break, Patty's pulling this bill of the day, and this is Senate Bill 21077. And it is a bill that eliminates the Remove Lawful Presence Verification Credentialing. The bill eliminates the requirement that the Department of Education and each division, board, or agency of the department. Actually, I'm going to start that over again. Okay, Steve? The
sure.
bill eliminates the requirement that the Department of Indoctrination and each division, board, or agency of the Department of Regulatory Agencies verify the lawful presence of each applicant before issuing or renewing a license. The bill also specifies that lawful presence is not required of any applicant for any license, certificate, or registration. The bill affirmatively states that the bill is a state law within the meaning of the federal law that gives states authority to provide for eligibility for state and local public benefits to persons who are unlawfully residing in the United States. My friends, that's Colorado Senate Bill 21077. Just chaw on that for the day.
You know, you'd have to be Helen Keller not to be able to see through this, and I bet you even she could see through it. I don't ever want to be ID'd anywhere again for anything. Well, why would you make this the law?
That is an interesting point, but yet there is on the horizon a possible forced vaccination. for people to get on an airplane or do things, which that begs the other question. How, and all the people down at the border that Biden wants to let in, have they been masked for all this time? And do they have vaccines? Where's their proof there?
Now, we're going to push them to the front of the line for the vaccine. Dare we name the sponsors of this bill?
Go ahead.
Julie Gonzalez, a senator, you know, at the local state level. Adrian Benavides, a representative at District 32, and Kathy Kipp, another representative from District 52.
What's up in Fort Collins? Okay, we've got a jam-packed show, but we want to keep you informed. Patty's pulling these bill of the day, so you know what's going on. And they are coming fast and furious now that the legislature has reconvened. But something very important is happening in Washington, and that is that the Senate is beginning the confirmation hearing on Deb Haaland to become the Secretary of the Interior, and Daniel Turner, who is the Executive Director of Power of the Future, will join us to explain why Senators Hickenlooper and Bennett must put the needs of their constituents, that's us, ahead of the party. We'll be right back.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can contribute there to continue to keep our independent voice out there pushing for truth and clarity. On the line with me is Daniel Turner. He is the executive director of Power of the Future. And he said something very important is happening up on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. today. Daniel, welcome to the show.
Kim, thanks for having me back on. Great to be with you.
Great to have you as well. And before we get to that, actually, Patty, that does our research, had pulled a piece that we have on our outline that was in the Federalist just recently that you have written regarding the basic math is showing how wind energy failures contributed to the Texas deadly power loss. That is a very important piece as well, Daniel.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate you highlighting it. And yes, I haven't been on your show a couple of times now. I've always mentioned I don't oppose wind and solar. I think where they work and they should be used as part of our electric mix. But we're fooling ourselves if we pretend that they are have the same reliability as fossil fuels. They don't. We saw that in Texas. We see it consistently in California. And this is going to become a growing issue as the Biden administration pushes us to use more and more renewable energy technology.
So let's jump over here with this confirmation hearing for, is Haaland the correct way to spell, pronounce her name?
Haaland, like the country.
Okay, Haaland, like the country. She actually doesn't really like fossil fuels, but yet fossil fuels are the thing that helps everyday people thrive and prosper because it's efficient, it's affordable, it's abundant, and it's reliable. And we have to wonder why are on earth would they be putting people in place that don't like that for everyday hardworking people?
And you have put it very politely, which is much to your credit, as a good person, to say she does not like fossil fuels. She is an absolute anti-fossil fuel radical. And there are numerous videos, many of them we put on our website, powerthefuture.com. She has signed on to all of these anti-fossil fuel petitions with statements as radical as we need to be off fossil fuels by the year 2020. There's not a lot of wiggle room in that statement, right? When you tell people that we need to leave all fossil fuels in the ground starting immediately, that is a pretty blunt statement. Well, she suddenly stopped that rhetoric because she wants this new job. And today she will go testify before the Senate, and she will, I'm sure, use language that she wants to work with all people for the good of the country. But we have to stop listening to what they say in the heat of the moment when they want an upgrade, like when Joe Biden wanted to be president. He has a history of saying, we're going to ban fracking. We want to get away from fossil fuels. Then he's in a close presidential race, and suddenly none of that is true. I love fossil fuels. And the media carried his water, and people fell for it. The low information voter fell for it. And Deb Haaland is just one more of these radicals who hate the fossil fuel industry, who will say whatever they need to before the Senate to get the job. But once in position, we know the actions she will take will cripple the fossil fuel industry, particularly in your great state of Colorado.
Let's talk about Colorado then. We have two Democrat senators from Colorado. That's Senators Hickenlooper and Bennett. And they, and I know sometimes politically they make deals about, you vote for this and you're up for re-election sooner than I am, and so you go ahead and vote against it or against this confirmation. I'll vote for it. Deals are made. What do you see happening here? The right thing to do is for both these senators to stand up for the people of Colorado and vote no on this confirmation, because she is putting thousands of jobs and billions in tax revenue, billions in jobs on the line. And so what do you think is going to happen with these two senators?
Well, they're going to be under a tremendous amount of pressure from Chuck Schumer, the majority leader, because as you and your listeners know, the Senate is divided 50-50, and so they cannot afford to lose one vote. And so they need every single Democrat to vote in favor, as they have done up till now. But this is different, because the Department of Interior does control the vast majority of America's land. And that is a lot of land in Colorado. And it will be Deb Haaland's office who decides if you have access to it, not just for oil and gas, but for ranching, for farming, for cattle grazing, for all access. We saw the previous administration, the Obama administration, with these huge land grabs. And Coloradans have to wonder, is the Secretary of Interior going to increase the size of some of these national parks and take away hundreds of thousands of acres from Coloradans and put it into the federal government? So it's a really powerful, and it's not always the sexiest position, right? We talk about defense and Secretary of State and Secretary of Treasury. Secretary of Interior is kind of pushed aside sometimes. We forget about it, but it is critically important, especially to those western states, those big states like Colorado, where so much of your industry, so much of your economy is land-based. And that's why I hope Senator Bennett, I don't have much hope in, because I know his voting record. Senator Hickenlooper is new, and he promised the voters last November he would support energy workers in Colorado. This is his big chance to make good on that promise. He supports a transition to renewables and all of the green language, but he has been good to the energy industry as your governor. And let's hope he doesn't suddenly change his position because Chuck Schumer is breathing down his neck. So people need to call John Hickenlooper and tell him to vote for America's, Colorado's energy workers.
Okay, a question. What about Manchin? What about Senator Manchin? What do you think?
He's a holdout, right? I hope so, because he saw what happened to his state under 8 years of Obama's war on coal. So he has to be concerned about West Virginia's future. And he he's a Democrat, but he's a moderate Democrat, as someone like Hickenlooper has portrayed himself, as someone like Senator Bennett has portrayed himself as a moderate Democrat. That's the only way they get elected in states like Colorado, which, you know, maybe you're leaning blue but are still kind of purple, but they are not radically left states, where I am from, like New York, right? So I'm hoping that Senator Manchin says, no, a lot of your language, Deb Haaland, scares me. And when there was no camera on you, when there was no money at stake or job at stake, you spoke in absolute terms opposing the fossil fuel industry. I can't believe that you've suddenly changed your tune because you want an upgrade. That's not how human nature works.
And that is one of the things that is so frustrating, is the hypocrisy of, I mean, it can happen with all human beings, and we probably, I mean, it can happen with us, but the hypocrisy of the radical regressive activists on the left is astounding. For example, John Kerry flying to Iceland on his private jet, big carbon footprint, to accept a climate award. It and when he was asked about it, it's like, well, for people like me, it's okay. Now let's look at the hypocrisy of Deb Haaland. You had mentioned a couple of things that Rachel, your publicist, sent over. I think it's important that you mention that.
Well, I think one of the most remarkable is when she was the chairman of the board of a corporation that was a refining corporation. She was all in favor of the fossil fuel industry. This is before she ran for public office. And she made a good profit from it. I'm sure she had a very nice salary. So it's fascinating that when her job was on the line, she supported. She was the chairman of the board of a company that refined oil. So isn't it amazing how then once she decided she wanted to be a public figure, that disappeared. And she tried to scrub it from her resume. She tried to scrub it from her past. And now she hates the fossil fuel industry. Now she's in a position that will control the vast majority of America's fossil fuel land access, and now she likes the industry again. So I just want to know who I'm getting, right? I mean, there's a lot on the line. We can't afford to play these games, not when it comes to, in the state of Colorado, 500,000 people who are employed in this industry. Nationwide, more than 12 million people employed in this. We have no time for games.
No time for games, and my friends, we need to reach out to both Senator Bennett and Senator Hickenlooper's offices on this and encourage them to stand for the people of Colorado. And Daniel, it's been astounding to me, these policies, again, the mask is off when we see the cancellation of the Keystone XL pipeline. The mask is off from what they said and people that believe them, that voted for them, and what they are doing. Within just a month, the number of jobs that have been lost. We look at Texas, the result of this bad policy. I just have to say it is bad policy. And we need to move towards having representatives that represent the people. We need to reduce this bureaucratic state so that the representatives are answerable to the people. And my friends, we need to remember that Senator Bennett and Senator Hickenlooper are our representatives, and they need to vote for the people of Colorado. Daniel, your final thought.
I agree 100%. And people need to put their communities, their state, their jobs, your economy. Close to $2 billion in tax revenue is on the line, right? All of that made Colorado such a prosperous state this last decade. This is all that is on the balance, and we need to put Colorado first.
Okay, Daniel Turner, thank you for your important work. You are the executive director of Power the Future. Let's stay in touch.
Thank you so much.
Jason McBride, Senior VP, Presidential Wealth Management. I tell you what, this has me very concerned with Deb Haaland up for Senate confirmation today. What's your thoughts?
Well, they seem to do a really good job of picking the person that has the most vitriol kind of against the job that they seem to be able, you know, about to take. So, you know, I'm not sure of the best analogy to use for it, but I'm sure you could cook up four or five pretty quick.
Well, I'll go to work.
Because he's smart.
He's real smart. I don't see anything right now on that. Jason, there are so many unknowns out there, and that is why it is important that people have a plan and have an idea what their needs are going to be in the future, and you're very good at helping people navigate all that.
Well, yeah, and part of helping them navigate it, Kim, and I've said this a few times, is, you know, a lot of folks have probably already crossed the finish line, so to speak, and don't need to be taking anywhere near as much risk as they're taking in order to, you know, have the retirement they need and the income they need. You know, just when things have been going well, it becomes difficult to kind of let go of that. And if you don't know where you're at, it becomes even more difficult. So, now that may not be the case for everyone, but I think it at least would be a smart move to have a thorough plan done and figure out figure out where you're at in your journey, and I think that helps everybody make better decisions about where they want to be positioned.
And sleep better at night as well, Jason McBride. How can people reach you?
Easy way, Kim, give us a call, 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600.
Jason, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one, Kim.
Thanks so much. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Roger Hayes, he is the owner of Premier Employer Services, another great partner of the Kim Munson Show, and want to find out what he sees happening down at the State House now that the legislature has reconvened regarding legislation and how that affects businesses. We'll be right back.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, our most recent podcasts. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. On the line with me is Roger Hayes. He is the owner of Premier Employer Services, which basically they do all the back office kind of work that you as the owner of the company, you have to do it, but you don't really want to have it done in-house because it's expensive. And Premier Employer Services is the place for you. Roger Hayes, did I give a good synopsis of what you do every day?
You did a great job. That's about as quick as you can possibly do it.
Okay, good deal. And how can people get more information about you, Roger?
Website, www.premieremployerservices.com, all one big giant word, and or they can always email me, rhayes, H-A-Y-S, at premieremployerservices.com. And we have a phone number, 303-221-0558.
Okay, Roger, because of your work with businesses and what you do, you keep an eye on what's happening down at the legislature. And it has reconvened. I said we knew this dreadful day would arrive, and it has. They have reconvened. What do you see out there that businesses need to be aware of?
It's unfortunate when they live up to my worst nightmares, right?
Yes.
They came back and did exactly what we expected. So one of the big things employers need to make sure that they're already addressed, and we're a month and a half into the new year, so hopefully they've already done this. But, you know, they did pass a pay equity bill, and it took effect January 1st. So employers have to make sure that they're complying with that pay equity statute, and they're taking certain things off of their job applications. They're not asking for pay history when they're doing interviews or they're posting for jobs, things like that. So that's something that they need to already be aware of, because that actually started January 1. Now, with the legislature coming up, there's a whole bunch of ugly-looking stuff. But for businesses, one of the worst ones is a new one that was just kind of recently introduced. Senator Faith Winter and Representative Susan Lantine have introduced an anti-harassment bill. And what stresses me out about these things is we all agree that people should not be harassed while at work. I don't think there's very many people out there that think that's something that's acceptable. So they introduce these things that we all agree with the title, but then once you start to look at it, it gets really difficult for some businesses. And this one's a good example. It's
it's pretty ugly when you get into the details. It one of the worst things it does is allows employees to basically notify their employer that the employer's done something wrong, harassment-wise, hostile work environment, and then just wait about 14 days and they can file a lawsuit with a lawyer. They don't have to go through normal channels, you know, with the Civil Rights Commission or with the Department of Labor. They can just go ahead and file a suit. And as you know, that's the worst way to do it for employers, because small guys have to retain attorneys mm-hmm. and pay those huge fees. And if they win, they don't get that back. The employee doesn't have to reimburse them for that.
They're oh, my gosh. So actually, this should be renamed the Attorney Act. Employment Act, right?
Yeah, it's a good title for it. And surprisingly, it's, you know, backed by the Colorado trial lawyers.
So. Of course.
Somebody's going to make some money off it, and it sure isn't going to be the employer, and the employee's not going to make a lot when it's all said and done. But that's a good news. That's a good title.
Mm-hmm. So or it could be the Colorado Trial Attorneys Employment Act. Maybe that's what I'm going to call it. How's that?
you'd have to start lettering them, I think, because they're pushing a lot of them this year.
Oh.
And there's a bunch of other bills, not necessarily directly related to employment law, but they're trying to really push for a whole lot of direct litigation on a whole lot of other issues. They want to be able to go out and mine people to file lawsuits against companies for one reason or another. Mm-hmm. They just want to direct sue. They don't want to have to go and file a claim with the EEOC or the Colorado Civil Rights Division. They want to just sue in county court right away so they can get the ball rolling and start racking up fees.
You know, Roger, in America, it's astounding that anybody can accuse anybody else of something, and then you have to lawyer up to fight that. And it is very expensive. And then this is the other dot to connect here. I want people to understand this, that an employee could accuse an employer of harassment or something like that. The employer would incur significant legal fees if they are found that they are not guilty of that. They don't get to get those legal fees back. It is a recipe for disaster for employers.
Correct. I completely agree. And there's a, you know, that's kind of the template that the Colorado legislature is working off of this session. They did it last session. They're going to probably do it again next year. Is to set those things up so that even if you can prove that it was a frivolous lawsuit, even if you're able to show the employee was just retaliating out of spite or, you know, some other malicious kind of act, you still, it's really, really difficult to go after that employee to get them to reimburse you. So
right. It
makes it really easy for people to throw a lot of stuff up against the wall and hope something sticks. And if it doesn't hurt them at all. They just walk away. And they're able to do it again with another employer down the road. And mm-hmm. the trial lawyers, they make their money. And the employer has to pay it. That's what they're going after is. Unfortunately, and I've told you this before, a lot of our Democratic legislators strongly believe that every single business owner is very wealthy. They have very deep pockets. And so they want to be able to go after them and sue them because, well, they can afford it. And even if they don't have the money in the bank, that's why they have insurance policies.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody's going to pay for this, and the lawyers are going to make the money.
Mm-hmm. And that's why the trial attorneys are behind that. What else, Roger? I know there's a lot out there. What's the next one you want to lowlight?
For employers, that's the big one right now with the beginning of the session. That's the one that's been introduced. The other stuff, as you
know. Oh, and what's the number on that, Roger? Do you have that handy?
It doesn't have a number yet. I apologize.
Okay.
It's brand spanking new, and they haven't actually assigned it a number yet. It's still in the draft stage.
Okay.
But it was actually dropped on 2/19, so okay. 4 days ago.
Okay.
But it is sponsored by Faith Winter, Susan Lantine, and the title is Discriminatory Employment Practices Protections.
Wow.
So, yeah, that one's really, that one's new. We were watching for some other things. There's, obviously, they want, the other thing that's coming, we just haven't really got our hands around it yet, is they're going to push again this year to mess with the arbitration rules in Colorado, because, again, there's a group of people out there who we've already talked about would like to eliminate as much arbitration in Colorado as possible, because arbitration makes it harder for them to get things into courtrooms. And so they're going to go after that again. So we're waiting for that arbitration bill to come up and hit the floor.
So this is the Colorado Trial Attorneys Employment Act number 2.
Or B, however you want to do it, like I said, there's going to be a bunch of them. But, yeah, as far as employers are concerned, this is going to be another tough one, because if you're a company, and most companies have these arbitration statutes, they also have non-disclosure agreements and things like that. So that's something else that they want to eliminate, is they don't like the non-disclosure stuff because they want the employees to be able to be able to say things. And they want to get rid of arbitration because it's a much more efficient, cheaper method of settling disputes between employers and employees. And usually lawyers don't get involved in those, because when you go to arbitration, most of the time, not always, but most of the time, employers can represent themselves in an arbitration hearing.
Let's take this out into the future. What does this mean for the state of Colorado as far as starting a new business here and hiring employees? I mean, Colorado's a cool state. I love the Rocky Mountains. I love it all. But at some point in time, I think people will start businesses in other states or maybe move their businesses. What do you think, Roger?
Well, they will. We've seen it, you know, not in the very recent past, haven't we? When Governor Hickenlooper was in and they changed some of the magazine laws, we lost Magpul to Cheyenne, Wyoming, and the great state of Texas. The thing I would say is, if you want to know what it's going to look like, just look at California, because we have a pretty good-sized contingent of legislators that use California as a model for pretty much everything they do. And if they've introduced a bill in Sacramento, you can pretty much guarantee it's going to get introduced in Denver, because everything they do out in Sacramento they think is awesome. So you've read in the papers, watched on the news channels, all the businesses that are fleeing the state of California. They're going to Nevada. They're going to Phoenix. And most of them are going to Texas. We're going to start to see that as we keep going, as we start to catch up to some of these crazy innocuous bills that are just overbearing. You're going to see employers relocate to places like Texas and Utah and Wyoming. It's how hard is it to move your business if you're already in Fort Collins, 60 miles north to Cheyenne? It's going to happen. It's happened in the past. It's just going to start picking up. I think we're going to see it more and more. And, you know, people from out of state that want to relocate here, they're going to have to think long and hard, because it's becoming a very anti-business climate.
And Colorado, I think people had prided themselves and actually taken some comfort that we were in the top 10 economies of all the 50 states in the United States. But we are now in the bottom nine.
The bottom, yeah.
And it is the result of public policy. And that's why it's so important to keep an eye on this. Roger Hayes, Premier Employer Services, let's go to break and let's continue on with other things that you see that this legislature might be proposing during this session. We'll be right back.
Controlling your own destiny. There are a lot of unknowns on the horizon with the new administration. Predovich & Company is here to help. Trusted professionals for all your bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting needs. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. They've been helping her for years. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company works with clients from anywhere in the United States. Give them a call at 303-791-3000 to put Predovich & Company to work for you. Call 303-791-3000 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. And sign up for our weekly newsletter there as well. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com also. On the line with me is a great partner of the Kim Munson Show, and that is Roger Hayes. He is the owner of Premier Employer Services. They're based here in Inglewood, Colorado. They're a comprehensive off-site human resource administrative that services businesses with 5 to 50 employees. So they basically, all that back office and compliance stuff that a business has to adhere to, they can really help you with that. And of course, Colorado, with what's going on down at the legislature, you become more and more valuable every day to the businesses that you work with, Roger.
Unfortunately, that is very true. They need more help. So their CPA, their attorney, their PEO, which is what we are, become valuable assets to keep them out of trouble, because the legislature is just trying to make it as difficult as possible to navigate those waters. And employers, every time they turn around, are going to be, you know, potentially violating something. So it gets really tough with an anti-business kind of crowd that we have.
You know, let's go back, Roger, to a kind of a free market answer. You had mentioned that it's Faith Winter and Susan Lantine that's wants to drop this anti-harassment bill. And throughout careers, I think people can get into jobs where personalities may not match up, or they're just, it just happens. We're human beings. I remember that I had one job where, looking back, you could probably say there was some harassment going on. But instead of getting mad or anything about, what I actually did is I went out and I found another job. And the new job that I found opened up all kinds of opportunities, where I actually became one of the youngest vice presidents at the investment firm that I was working at the time. And so I looked at that potential harassment thing, and instead of getting an attorney and going through a lot of negative energy stuff, ended up, from a free market standpoint, going out and finding another job with great people to work with, and it was a really great move. Any comments on that, Roger?
Well, it works. Unfortunately, it doesn't, you know, a lot of times it doesn't work. And I am very anti-harassment. We counsel our clients all the time to follow the rules. Do not make your employees' life at work unbearable or miserable. The best kind of working environment is one where everyone's able to do their job and they're happy. They want to come to work. You don't sit out in the parking lot crying before you go in. So at times, some of this stuff is, you know, it's necessary, because there are folks, unfortunately, from time to time that just, they're just not nice people. But there's such an exception to the rule. Most employers want to treat their employees well. They want to provide benefits. They want to provide a really good work environment. And a lot of times what constitutes harassment to an employee is just the employer trying to, you know, get what they've paid for. They've asked the employee to show up, and they're going to pay them a certain wage, and everybody's agreed to that. And then maybe the employee's not working out. Maybe they didn't like the job. It wasn't what they thought it was going to be, and things just aren't working out. So the employer's processing them and trying to train them. And the employee feels it because they're being picked on, because they're being asked to do stuff they don't like to do. And one of the other problems with this bill is, you know, some of the language in it. And I'm going to paraphrase, because this isn't exact and I don't have the bill in front of me, but it's, employees can file harassment now if, basically, if their feelings get hurt, if the employer kind of makes them feel bad. And when we start getting into those kind of definitions, it opens things up for career lawsuit types to take a job knowing they don't really want it necessarily, but they know that after a few months they'll be able to file a lawsuit. There's a good chance the employer will settle that lawsuit for $25,000, $50,000, $65,000. The employee will take their check, split it with their lawyer, and then move on to another job. That's what really bothers me about this. We all agree that harassment's bad. Nobody wants to work in an environment where they feel like they're being picked on, harassed, or made to feel that they don't want to go to work. But when you change and you expand the law to include all kinds of stuff that's not really needed to be included. And there's already remedies for a lot of this. You know, employees can file a complaint with the Department of Labor. They can file a complaint with the Civil Rights Division or even the EEOC at the federal level. This is just purely a way to punish employers for being employers, in my opinion.
Goodness.
So it just makes it so much harder.
Yeah. And then you put these kinds of policies in place and you increase the cost of labor. What happens is like small businesses, people don't hire. They end up doing all the jobs instead of hiring another person, which takes away the opportunity for somebody to have a job. We've got probably 4 or 5 minutes, Roger. What's some other things that you want our listeners to know that could be coming down the pike here at the legislature?
Well, obviously, there's that push, you know, the minimum wage push all the time. And there's some.
You mean the Youth Unemployment Act?
Exactly. There's some folks that we said weren't going to be happy with $15 an hour, and surprise, surprise, they're not. They want to go higher than that now. So that's something that, you know, can consider. And that does exactly what you were talking about as well, right? As an employer, if my costs are going up, then one of the largest expenses for employers is benefits and it's payroll. Well, the easiest way to eliminate those two expenses is to downsize. So either don't hire or reduce the size of your staff. If you're the kind of business that can automate things, do that instead. So all of a sudden there's less jobs, less entry-level jobs, less mid-level jobs. Those kind of things are going to start to dry up. And when you start piling these pieces of legislation on top of each other, it becomes so onerous that it does exactly what you're talking about. It forces employers to scale back or to just not expand. They choose not to expand at times like this, so it becomes a real problem. The other big one, as we know, that we're dealing with is the family medical leave bill that passed last November. And there's a bill that's being introduced to clean up some things because the legislature has to pass some rules and operating things in order to comply with that new mandate that passed in November. And then I just want everybody to remember that while nothing happens this year, starting in 2023, employers have to start paying that tax, and that's what it is, it's a tax. It's 0.9% of the payroll. And the employer can pay half of it, and they can charge half of it to the employee, or they can pay the whole thing if they wish. But they'll start paying that in January of 23, and then employees can start filing claims January of 24. So they can start taking time off for family medical leave in January. So that's something employers need to keep in mind, and they need to start preparing, even though it's a year or so down the road, they need to start preparing for that so that they've got budgets taken care of, they have staff requirements taken care of, those kind of things.
And once again, this, they called it a fee, but it's a tax. And just think about it. That young family that's out there trying to get ahead, 0.9% of payroll, if they could have that in their pocket instead of that being taxed, that would really help them. So once again, this is taking more money out of hardworking people's pockets. Now, I know that people thought, well, this is great because if I have a baby or if I have a relative who is having medical issues, I can take some time off and get paid to do that. But Roger, I don't think there's going to be enough money to go around. How are they going to choose who gets to take time off and get money and who doesn't? And do we know what that's going to look like?
Well, the way the statute's written is there, it's pretty much already set. Once you've accrued the time, as you begin to accrue it, you can put in and take the time off, and the employer really can't stop you as long as it's a qualifying reason. There is no caveat for the employer to claim a hardship or anything like that, really. The employee would just put in for the time. The employer has to keep their job available, and then the employee can take up to 12 weeks of paid time off. And for smaller businesses, that 12 weeks can be really difficult because they can't really afford to hire a temp to come in, do that work for 12 weeks, and then make sure they guarantee that spot for that employee when they get back. So it becomes very onerous. But there's really there's really not a lot of decision in it. That's another thing that, you know, the legislature likes, is let's take all of the decision-making process and the flexibility away from the employer. Government should make those decisions for us. Let us decide when your employees can and can't take time off. And the way it's written is, if they've accrued the time, they get to take it off, whether you really can afford to lose them at that moment or not.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Roger Hayes, thank you. This has been so informative. We are out of time, though, but how can people reach you at Premier Employer Services?
So, again, the website's www.premieremployerservices.com. There's a way to contact us. There's a page they can use there. Email is great, rhayes, H-A-Y-S, at premieremployerservices.com, or they can call me at 303-221-0558. My extension is 101.
Roger Hayes, thank you. You are a valued partner of the Kim Munson Show.
Thank you, Kim. Hope you have a great day.
You too. And our quote for today is from Elaine Tauscher. She was an American businesswoman, diplomat, and Democrat Party politician born in 1951. She said, the Government Small Business Administration reports that small businesses represent 99% of all employers in the United States and are responsible for generating well over half of the new jobs created. Today, my friends, be grateful. Read great books. Think good thoughts. Listen to beautiful music. Communicate and listen well. Live honestly and authentically. Strive for high ideals. And like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.